But dear parishioners, on this first Sunday of October, I would like to speak to you about the Rosary. This is the month of the Holy Rosary. And I want to begin by specifically encouraging you to participate in the Block Rosary Apostolate. If you ever want information on this, talk to Brother Joseph or to Dave Fury. They are very zealous in promoting the Rosary and praying it within the context of the Block Rosary. This apostolate, this devotion, was revealed by Our Lady during the throes of World War II. And as we know, our men were being slaughtered, you know, in those horrific battles of World War II. And Our Lady appeared to a woman in the Detroit area and exhorted her. I believe she had a brother that was in battle, if I'm not mistaken, on Iwo Jima, one of the worst battles of all time. And she said, pray. She said, get your neighbors to pray the rosary together, because this is the answer. And so we call it the Block Rosary, because the idea is to get people from your block to pray. Your neighborhood, your vicinity. I know that some of you, and very laudably, go pray the rosary at different parishioners' homes. And as much as I praise that, I would remind you that that's not the Block Rosary. The Block Rosary is, for example, you pray the rosary in your home on Monday, inviting the neighbors to come to that. You go the next day to neighbor A, or on Tuesday, pray the rosary there. On Wednesday, pray it at neighbor B, you know, and so on and so forth. And this is to bring down God's choice blessings on where you live. Now, you may be asking yourself, but I don't know my neighbors that well. Or maybe I have problems with my neighbors. Or my neighbors are Protestants. Or my neighbors are atheists. No matter. The idea is to still extend an invitation to them to join you in prayer. Now, it may not work. Often enough, it doesn't work. But I have heard of non-Catholics being invited to pray the rosary. We tell them why you're praying it, for world peace. And if you can get them to come, then you are going to be helping lead them closer to God and helping them get closer to converting to the Catholic faith. This may sound strange to you. After all, don't we, as traditional Catholics, reject interfaith worship? We do. But may I remind you that interfaith worship is, for example, where we, and this, unfortunately, this is what Vatican II called for, which is why we reject Vatican II. And its decree on ecumenism specifically states that at times it is permissible to go and worship with other religions. This is a sin against the first commandment. The true church could never teach us how to break the first commandment. You know, when you go to a Protestant church and worship as Protestants do, or go to the Methodists or Lutherans or whatever. I'm not talking about that. The rosary is Catholic. And what could be wrong with getting anybody, Catholics or non-Catholics, to pray the rosary? So that's the idea. Have them join you in prayer. I want to tell you a little story of a gentleman that I met years ago. He lives far from here. And he was a non-Catholic. He had been married to his Catholic wife. They got the dispensation to marry a non-Catholic. And so they were raising children. And even though he didn't believe in the Catholic faith, he realized as a father that he had to be setting an example for his family. So guess what? He led the family in the daily rosary, among other things. Made sure they went to church. I think he even went to church on Sundays. Didn't even believe in it. And I asked him, some years after I had met him, I said, Jeff, how come you're not a Catholic? I'll never forget his reaction. It was a visceral response. It seemed like he was almost angry when he looked at me and he said, you know why? Because I don't believe, that's why. Okay. Just asking. Just wanted to know. I got an email 2 or 3 years later with the very happy news that he had become a Catholic, that he was baptized. Now, why do you think that happened? I'll bet it was because he was praying the rosary. At some point, by persevering in prayer, he was asking God, show me the way. Tell me what I need to do. Give me the gift of faith. And because of that, he's a practicing traditional Catholic today, as far as I know. So, what other reasons do we need to pray the rosary? As I said, the block rosary brings down many blessings on our neighborhood. One of the slogans of the Black Rosary Apostolate is a crime-free neighborhood. So I'm asking you to seriously consider whether your neighborhood has crime in it or not, whether there's Catholics or not, I want you to seriously consider inviting them to pray the rosary with you. Because that is the Black Rosary Apostolate. I see this as a critical need. I can't go out there and give, you know, preach a lecture or give lectures on this because my primary daily duty is here at Mount St. Michael, being your pastor, serving your spiritual needs, being involved with the school. We don't have a director for the Black Rosary Apostolate. Maybe you could pray for that. Mrs. Dorothy DePianti had to retire from that. But can you imagine what blessings would come on the United States of America if we could see the Black Rosary prosper in this country? It's not asking a lot. I think we all know that we need to be praying the rosary every day. And this would just be involving your neighbors. Maybe they'll all say no, but maybe one family will say yes. And that's better than nothing. Think about it, will you, please? For your sake, for the sake of your neighbors, because they have souls to save too. For the sake of your country. I want to read to you an article that was in the Black Rosary newsletter some years ago. And this tells us in detail how it was that Austria was saved from communism. Historians are still wondering how it happened that on May 13, 1955, Soviet Russia agreed to the independence of Austria and shortly after removed its troops from Austrian soil. What Hungary could not accomplish in the 50s and what Czechoslovakia could not gain in the 60s, Austria accomplished without seemingly any apparent effort. Moreover, it would seem that Austria would be the least likely country that the communist bosses in the Kremlin would be willing to give up due to its strategic location, and for no better reason than it was allied with Germany against Russia during World War II. But it is a historic fact that this is one agreement that the communists made and have kept thus far. They pulled their forces out of this small republic in 1955 and never returned. What's the explanation? For every effect, there has to be a cause. What was the cause? something had to make them leave the country. There is every reason to believe that Austria owes her freedom to divine intervention. In a letter by Father Petrus Pavlicek, published in the October 13, 1955 edition of the Voice of Fatima, the full credit is given to Our Lady and the recitation of the Rosary by many thousands of Austrians. Over 700,000 Austrians, which is 10% of its population of 7 million, pledge themselves to pray the daily Rosary in compliance with Our Lady's request at Fatima. Isn't that interesting? Just 10% said yes to the Rosary. And for that reason, it did not stay a communist country. Father Petrus wrote, "Is it not wonderful how our dear Lady helped Austria to regain freedom? It was so obvious with the appearances of Our Lady of Fatima. On the 13th of May, all the papers of Austria carried the news that Soviet Russia had agreed to the independence of Austria. And on Sunday, the 15th, the agreement was signed in Vienna on the day of the 81st sermon on penitence. It was likewise the ninth sermon of the 9 months novenas, which thousands attended in our Franciscan church where Our Lady of Fatima has her shrine. It was really a wonderful reward of Our Lady to the Catholic people of Vienna, who faithfully for 7 years came to her daily and prayed from 3 till 8 o'clock in the evening, one rosary after the other." And this article goes on to say that the famous stigmatist of Germany, Teresa Neumann, who died in 1962, said, "Undoubtedly, it was because of these rosaries that Austria was saved from communism." So, my dear brethren, the lessons of history are undeniable. I remind you again, the Battle of Lepanto on October 7th, why did the Christian fleet win? As Pope St. Pius V said, it was because of the rosary, all the rosaries being offered up. So, my dear brethren, if you wish to save America, and I've heard many of you lament the evils going on in our country, the moral evils, the loss of faith, the political evils, the economic problems, what's the solution? The rosary. That's the answer. Just look at history. But if we don't believe history, surely we'll believe Our Lady who said at Fatima, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Pray the rosary for world peace. Russia will be converted." Surely we believe Our Lady. So now it is simply for up to us to use what we have been given. We need the rosary desperately. We need it to solve our problems, our spiritual problems, our temporal problems. Remember what Father Peyton said in his Rosary Crusade over and over again. The family that prays together stays together. In other words, there are problems that you will not work out as a family unless you pray the rosary together. It's that good, it's that powerful. May I also suggest very strongly that you set a time where you pray it every day at the same time. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. Now, sometimes it's not possible. I know for myself that often it's a different time of the day because of my schedule and my duties. But it only makes sense to try to have it at the same time, because then we get into the habit of it, and the more we're in a habit of doing something, the easier it is to stick with it. The rosary then is transformative. It transforms society. It transforms the world if only enough people will pray it. Even more importantly, it transforms us. And that's where it always starts. You know, when we want to solve the problems out there, you know where we always have to start? By solving the problems in here. The problems on the outside are an expression of the problems we're having on the inside. So we can get a pretty good look at understanding America's problem on an individual basis when we see all of its problems in a general fashion. Those are symptoms of the illness, the disease. So what does the rosary do? It makes us healthier, stronger, less sinful, more godly. Let's take, for example, the joyful mysteries. I just want to just show you how it helps us to practice virtue. What's the virtue we see in the first decade? The Annunciation. The angel appears to Mary. She shows this humility and obedience to God's will. Don't we need help with obedience and humility ourselves? You know, pride is such a problem. We're not obedient to God. We're not obedient to His church. Praying that first decade will help us to be more humble, more obedient in imitation of Our Lady. When we meditate on the second joyful mystery, the Visitation, what does that teach us? It teaches us to get our minds off of ourselves and to think of helping others. Mary just becomes the Mother of God. And what's the first thing she does after learning that, after the angel leaves her? I need to go help my cousin. What charity? That's what charity is. Thinking of the other person, not just of ourselves. The third joyful mystery. The incarnate God is born in a smelly, filthy stable. That teaches us, my dear brethren, to not be materialistic. To not grasp at the things of this world, which we will have to leave someday. They weren't important for God. He allowed Himself to be born in a stable to teach us a spirit of poverty. To teach us that material things cannot make us happy. Wasn't that the lesson that St. Francis of Assisi, whom we honor today, certainly learned and taught? He embraced poverty. He got rid of all of his material possessions, realizing that in comparison to God, they were nothing. The third joyful mystery helps us to be less attached, to not focus so much on material things. The fourth joyful mystery, purity. We reflect upon Our Lady's legal purification by going to the temple. And don't we need this virtue? Oh my goodness, we do. It's in a world drenched in the pleasures of the flesh, drenched in worldliness and immodesty. Let's pray that fourth joyful mystery to help us to be pure in mind and in deed, in look and in dress. If we have problems in that regard, pray that fourth joyful mystery to help with that virtue. The fifth joyful mystery, we see the wisdom of Jesus, His infinite wisdom showing itself to the doctors and lawyers and teachers in the temple. And we need wisdom to help us be not derailed by anything from our traditional Catholic faith. There's so many false wisdoms out there. So you see, my dear brethren, just from five joyful mysteries, so many helps and inspirations to lead a holy life. As we reflect then on this gift which came from heaven and passed through the hands of Mary, given to Saint Dominic and given to us, let's remember the power of these beads. What these beads can do, words cannot fully express. Please keep these beads with you. Renew, revitalize, increase in your devotion to the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.